beings. You will think that men and women need to be treated in the same way. The rules for the men and women should be the same. That's ridiculous. Because on a hot day down Oxford Street in London, can a man and a woman both walk down the street topless? No, they can't. Because their anatomy is different. So therefore, different rules apply. Even in a liberal, secular democracy. So why is there so much surprise if there's another system which says something else? Not just that. What about social structures? If you believe that we are basically a product of molecules, just advanced sets of molecules, then you have a very warped view of humanity. In fact, you won't have a view of humanity at all. And some of you may be thinking, well, a lot of Western liberal secularists who don't necessarily believe in God or any divine origin, you know, they still believe in some good and bad and some morality. That's true, but if you think about it, that's just remnants of their Christian past, which they've adapted in order to deal with the new context. But by and large, obviously there are exceptions without a doubt, major exceptions in many cases, but there is no doubt that this is a heritage of the Christian heritage of Western Europe, and Western Europe in particular, because they are leading the way ultimately in liberal democracies. So the only rational conclusion is that there can only be one morality, and it has to be fixed. Who's going to fix it? Me? You? Gordon Brown? Barack Obama? Who's going to fix it? Well, they can't, because they're supposed to be equal to us, right? We're human beings. They're human beings, I'm a human being. And Barack Obama, okay, he's quite an international guy in terms of his origin, but he hasn't lived in other parts of the world. So will their morality be different? So it doesn't make sense. It far more makes sense that there's a fixed morality. One level playing field for all human beings. And human beings can't set that. It has to be a moral arbiter. There has to be something above human beings, which is not subject to their biases, to their greed, to their desires, to their hunger for power, for corruption. It has to be free of all this. And this will have to be our creator. That's the only logical conclusion that a rational human being can reach. And therefore, that means that we need a human manual. We need a manual for how to live our lives. Because let's face it, even in the West, which is arguably from a civilization point of view, the most advanced set of nations on Earth at the moment, there are still massive problems. There are massive problems of crime, there are massive problems of morality, consciousness, depression, suicide, social disorder, families breaking down. And let's not forget that the West had apartheid, not just in South Africa, but in the United States of America only 50 years ago in some parts. And 100 or 200 years before that, settlers from the West going to the New World, whether it be in Australia or North America or even South America, were butchering entire races of people, entire tribes of people. So how can, with some 200 or 300 years in the history of the human experience, is not a long time. So do we really have a right to preach to the rest of the world how to behave, living in the West, given the history? So this is what Scripture is. Scripture, revelation, is it basically a communication from the Creator to the created. And this is something which is expected. And given that there are no authentic scriptures today apart from the Quran, I think it's fair to focus on the Quran. at this point, and how it really does show that it is a unique creation from an almighty, all-wise God. So despite being the only authentic surviving scripture which would there render it, remember, as human beings we're expecting communication. If we subject other scriptures to analysis, we will see that all other scriptures have faults, contradictions, logical flaws, and if even it doesn't have any of those, it is hard to ascertain if they are the same scriptures as they were when they originally were transmitted. And nobody can prove this. Really, look into the history and look at biblical scholars, how the Old and New Testaments of the Bible was supposedly preserved or collected. And you will see, subhanAllah, this is impossible. I mean, there's so much, and this is exactly what happened. There was so much room for adding and subtracting and changing it and manipulating these books. It's very clear. In the Hindu scriptures, you see that the Vedas, the early books, which seem to be speaking or seem to be coming from a divine voice, they seem to be coming from a divine origin. You will see that after that, the scriptures that talk about the Hindu personalities, like Rama, Sita, Krishna, Vishnu, Ravan, all these characters, because you have the earlier Hindu scriptures, then you have a middle level of Hindu scripture. And those are mainly like accounts. And in it you will see, and I've read this myself from those books, they will have stories such as Krishna, who is considered one of the main personalities of Godhead in Hinduism, doing very ungodlike things. For example, he will dance with the gopis, who are basically girls, and he will fondle them while he's dancing with them. And I said this to a Hindu. I said, "Do you not think that this is actually a very ungodlike behavior?" And he had to admit, yes, it is problematic. Or the fact that he took the clothes away from the gopis while they were bathing in a river, and he refused to give back to them until they showed him their nakedness. So the only conclusion can really be that Krishna is not really divine. He is maybe a person that was written about and then got deified, and people started to worship him afterwards. The Quran asserts its own confidence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ, that is the book in which there is no doubt. Very assertive start. It challenges mankind from the very beginning, after Surah Al-Fatiha. And no other book is like that. It is also the peak of eloquence and clarity in the Arabic language. And it challenged those eloquent and fluent Arabs of that time. And it flummoxed them. In fact, they didn't bother trying. They didn't even bother because they knew that this was something beyond their capability. And let's face it, no other Arab is going to reach the level of Arabic that was found with the Quraysh, the pagan Arabs that the Prophet ﷺ came from. And they were unable to contest the Quran. Therefore, they used slander and manipulation and spin and media hype in order to belie the messenger. And indeed, till our day, no one has ever dared to claim that anything is even equal to it. Now, why am I talking about the Quran? The reason why is because the Quran proves the messengership of the one who comes with it. Because what has happened throughout time is that the communication has been delivered via a human being to the rest of mankind. That's been the pattern. And there are a number of reasons for this. One is that we as human beings need to see a living example. We need to see a living example. Because if it was another being, let's say an angel, let's say another being from the spirit world, we would have said, well, look, But that's a different creed.